Praise the Lord. Whew. Ah. That anointing oil smells good. Doesn't it? Hallelujah. I'm just going to use this just for a second, and I'm going to, as the service gets started in this portion of the message, I'm going to turn this over to my wife in just a second, and she's going to share for just a minute. But before she does, Tony, who's usually here all the time, and he's always handy with a box of these. What are they called? Kleenex, right? Okay. If anybody needs some Kleenex, you better get it now. Okay. It's kind of like, you know, before a movie starts, turn off your cell phones and all these things. It's just a preparation because with the Lord shared with me last night, when he woke me up from a sound sleep and said that, tonight's going to be one of those nights. Walls are coming down, you guys. Pastor said it. Doors are going to be open. And prayers are going to be answered. Deliverance will be received. Healings will be resolved, okay? These things are going to take place. And tonight's your night to grab it. If you want it, it's yours. If not, it'll just keep going, okay? It'll keep going. It'll follow you because the scripture says that righteousness follows every man or woman. Righteousness follows, okay? And all we have to do is stop whatever we're doing, because a lot of times we just want to do our own thing. Is that amen? We do. We want to do our own thing. And until we stop and turn around and face righteousness, we'll never find it. We will never find it. It's behind us. Okay? When we stop, turn around, and face righteousness face to face, then our healings come. Our deliverance comes. Our prosperity comes. Okay? Our families get saved. Okay? In our workplace, we get jobs. We do what God's called us to do, because it is by and from the righteousness of God. And if you don't think I'm saying the right thing, check me out. There's lots of verses in the Bible where you can see if I'm telling the truth. Right, Joyce? I know. It's there. But we have an obligation to find it. Amen? We really do. As the service gets started, I'm going to introduce my wife. She is going to share just for a minute or two. You got 10 minutes.
I'm not going to speak for 10 minutes, but well, Larry told me, get ready to speak. You gotta say something tonight. So if you'd have asked me, or if anybody asked me what this past year has been like, I'd have to say it's been terrible, but it's been wonderful. I think you guys know the terrible part, but wonderful in what's come out of it. And it's been a year of challenge, and it's been a year of triumph. And as you can see from this miracle here beside me, God is so good. And his miracle working power is alive and well in this world today. So in the 23rd Psalm, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. 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 For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." This psalm has been a favorite of mine since I was a child. But how apropos those two first songs that we sang had to do with the fear and not fearing. I had to make the choice every day not to fear. And I just had to say, I will not fear. I will not fear. Maybe I was just too naive medically to know how sick he was, but it never dawned on me that he would not make it. I just went to the hospital every day, sat there every day going, okay, you can wake up now. Come on, it's time to go home. get up, let's go. Every day, I just figured that would be the day that we were going home. So it was just a choice. There were a lot of family and friends and all of you involved in the miracle that took place. Because in CCU and with a sepsis infection, a lot of people don't survive. So all over the world, thousands and thousands of people had been praying. And they bore me up so that I could bear him up. And they bore up all of our families, his mom and dad and his brothers, our daughters, just everybody who was there. And I know several of you visited us at the hospital. What a blessing. Just to know that we were loved and cared for. And I know that's the reason that God looked down with favor on us. So thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Just thank you for loving us so much. And we're just so thankful to the Lord. So I just know that God is so full of mercy and grace and faithfulness. I really am nearly speechless just at how awesome and mighty that he is. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Redeemer, my Savior. He's my peace and my strength. And I'm just so thankful that my husband is here, the love of my life, and to tell you the truth, I never realized how much I loved him. But now I know. So, amen. Thank you all.
Charmly. Sorry. That's a little loud there. Sorry. Okay, you can just adjust me as I talk, okay? And then we can... Janet, we forgot to bring something to church tonight for Ricardo. Darn it. Make sure you have it on Sunday. All right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everybody say glory to God. Now, after my wife shared that, then the world would say, hey, this is a lot to love, you know, or something like that. But you know what? Sometimes I can be a challenge. How many of you know you can be a challenge?
Yes.
To our mates or friends or whoever, or your boss, it doesn't matter. You can still be a challenge. And, you know, God is calling us as the body of Christ to not be a challenge. When was the last time God called you and talked to you and you said something challenging to God? When was the last time that happened? Josh and I have talked about stuff like this before, and it's like, and the Lord says, are you challenging me just like how our parents did to us when we were younger? Okay? And we say, what does that mean? Well, I'm not challenging you, God. I mean, you're God, you know? And he says, next time you challenge me, I'm going to stop talking to you. Okay? That happened to me in the hospital. My wife and I, we've just gone through a lot. And the Lord would speak to me and with me about a lot of things. And I am no special, not special than anybody else in here. Okay? Just by allowing myself to say yes to the Spirit of God, open the doors for him to have a clear pathway of communication with me. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. And being on my deathbed at the time, I did not hear his voice. I didn't hear his voice. And I reached that point where King David cried out to the Lord and said, "Where are you?" Right, honey? I mean, we went through that time together day after day. What did I do wrong? Was it my fault that this sickness came on me? What did I do? Excuse me if I'm sniffling, you guys, but it'll go away. And the Lord said, later, after quite some time of silence, he said to me, "You didn't do anything wrong. It's what the devil did right." Okay? Understand that. It's not what I did wrong. It's what he did right. And then it is my place to right in my own life so that I can turn what he did right into something he did wrong. Okay? Are you catching that? This is the cycle that God gives us as Christians. Okay? It's not if I did something wrong, then bam-o, something bad happens to me or us. That's not how God works in the Scriptures. If it happened that way, then he's a respecter of persons. And he said what? "I am no respecter of persons." It's not how it works. He is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't bless one and then curse another. No. That doesn't happen that way. You say, well, they're going to go to hell, so they're cursed. They're cursed because they choose to be cursed, not that God curses them. Okay? We've got to understand that. Okay? It's really simple because God is calling our Bible study that we have on Wednesdays to grow up spiritually. There are levels in growing up spiritually. And we're going to get there. We're going to get to that place where the Bible talks about manhood, adulthood, and being at that place where if God says jump, we actually say, "How high?" We don't say, "Was that you, God, or was that the devil?" You know, we will grow past that point, okay? And God wants us to. Before we put up the title of the message, okay, and we're going to go through a couple things, I do want to thank all of you who have been praying for us, as for myself and our family, okay, and phone calls and dinners and things like that. We just want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. I wrote some things down because I did not want to forget anything, because I know the Holy Spirit is going to move in this service tonight, and I know your hearts are prepared. I can see it in your face. I can see it in your face. Okay? These are things that God has called his oracles to be able to tap into. Okay? Because the Bible is God's word. Our voice as an oracle has to speak God's word. If we don't speak God's word, then how are we going to hear God's word? You can read it, but you know what? It is so good to read it out loud. Has anybody ever read it out loud to themselves before and you hear it with your own ears? What happens instead of just reading it silently? It's different, isn't it? It's different. Yeah, God's calling us to do that. Because the Hebrew for that, the word is mutter. Instead of meditate, it's mutter. In other words, when I read this, even if I read it softly so I could just hear it with my ears, I'm muttering. I'm muttering. And God's saying, "I want you to mutter the word of God so you can hear it from your own mouth." Okay? Meditate upon the word of the Lord. In other words, mutter. Talk to yourself with it. Everybody has Kleenex, right? Or a sleeve? Oh, glory. Oh, man. The Lord showed me something about prayer. Being in a coma and being in the hospital, not able to, I didn't even know I couldn't move my legs and my arms. I was just there. Okay. And the Lord showed me something about prayer that changed my way. Everybody say my way. My way of thinking about prayer. Okay? The Lord said to me, it's not the amount of people that you get praying, because out of the mouth of two or three is enough, or even just one, to get one person to agree. That's it. That's all that matters, really. Okay? He changed my thought process, and it says that it's not prayer that changes things. We've seen these bumper stickers, prayer changes things. Okay? He says it's not prayer that changes things. It's our belief in God to use our prayers to pave the way for Him to answer. I'm going to say that again. It's our belief in God to use our prayers to pave the way for Him to answer our prayers. Are you catching that? Okay? This is what prayer is about. I'm going to give you the example that God gave me. Okay? You remember when Jesus was entering into the city, and it is called the triumphant entry, okay, on, quote, Palm Sunday. Okay? Jesus is entering into the city on a colt donkey. Okay? And the disciples got the donkey, and he is starting to walk into the street called Straight, going into Jerusalem. And what did the people do? The people all around Jesus laid palm branches at his feet and waved them in the air. Okay? That's what they did. But they said something. They said, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Some translations say, Hosanna to the highest. He didn't say that. That's added by translators. Okay? They said, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Okay? And I'm going to give you something that God pounded in me that I have to pound in you. Okay? What comes to me, it's got to come to you. All right? Hosanna. What does Hosanna mean? It does not mean praise the Lord. It does not mean praise at all. It means, and Jim is right, it means save us. In Hebrew. It means save us. And so many times, you know, we just say, oh, Hosanna, praise. Oh, wait a minute. No, it means save us. Every person in Jerusalem who was there at the triumphal entry was asking Jesus to save them. From what? The Romans? Okay. The Pharisees? From anything. Okay? And you have to understand, they weren't on their hands and knees saying Hosanna. They were boisterously saying Hosanna. In a prayer fashion, did Jesus answer their cry and their prayer? Absolutely. What did he do on the cross? He saved us. He saved us. Only if you accept it. Otherwise, it was just a bunch of people yelling. Yelling Hosanna. You see, save us is what most people pray when they're crying out to God. Save me from something. You know, if a business is not, you know, is going under, they want it to be saved. It's the same thing. We can cry out, Hosanna to my business, Lord. Save the business. Hosanna to my family, Lord. Save us. Okay? And then he'll give us scriptures so that we can claim those scriptures and be victorious in that saving. Amen? This is how it works. And God is not a respecter person, so he actually declares and wants us to cry out to him all the time. Kathy, I know you've cried out to the Lord many times. And has he answered you? Many times. But there are some times that he's quiet. Then we must determine, why is he being quiet? Why? Sometimes he'll talk to us in the stillness of our hearts. Other times he'll talk to us through the wind. David had to understand that. He had to understand that. He says, when the wind blows through the mulberry bush, you'll know I'm talking in the wind. David had to, he just said, whoa, wait a minute, you're talking to me through the wind in the mulberry bush. Interesting, isn't it? But also, he's a still small voice. He's really still. When I was in the coma, the Lord gave me three parts to a vision. Okay, and you're going to get only one small part here. It's important to know that God has also given me a book, and I will be writing this book through the inspiration and the time of the Holy Ghost, and under the permission of Pastor Dennis and Pastor Denise, this church will be mentioned in the book and other people with their permission as well. Okay, and there will be a copy for everybody who is a member of the church, and if not, otherwise they can pay for it. But it's not coming out right away or anything, but when it is out, just be ready, because then you'll see and understand the whole vision that I went through when I was in a coma. The part that I'm sharing with you tonight that will relate to my message is when I was in a coma, I was helpless. I was helpless. Everybody say helpless. I couldn't do a thing. I couldn't do a thing. There are still sounds that when Janet, Miriam, and my other daughter, Brianna, was just, when I was in the hospital, sounds that are in the hospital that would, and I hate to say it, but would freak me out. Okay, and I'm just going, what the heck? I would hear those sounds, and pictures would come to my mind, because there were times that I would hallucinate while I was in a coma. Okay? But, and this hallucinations, I won't go into details about it, but I was being tortured in the coma. I was being tortured. When I would hear these sounds, there was somebody doing something to me. You know those cattle prodders that farmers and things and cattle ranchers use with an electric shock and things on it? Yeah. I was actually in a cage while I was in the coma, and when a certain sound would go through, I would get prodded by an individual. I cannot describe to you the face of the individual or the faces, but they were prodding me with an electric shock, and I would feel it, and they would say things to me that they're coming after my family, that they wanted me to die. And I couldn't do anything. I was helpless. Helpless. Okay? And it was a scary thing. It was a scary thing. I've never been that scared before in my life. Okay? But there were times being in that cage in the coma, I would look up and I would see what looked like large floodlights. Large floodlights, like in the backyard that people have on a patio. Okay? Some days there would be hundreds. Other days there would only be three or four. And then one day I looked at it and it looked like a freeway. Have you ever stood out on a bridge before and you see the oncoming traffic and you see hundreds of white lights that go down there? Other days there'd be hundreds and thousands up there. I'm going, what? What is that? And the Lord told me, those are the people who are praying for you. It is a bright light, and when those lights are on, when you look up and see that, there'll be no prodding. Nobody can stick you and talk negative to you and say they're going to kill you and your family. Some days there was only just a few, and I felt the presence of that evilness. But then when there was a lot, oh, I felt strong. Even though I couldn't come out of the cage, I couldn't do anything. Okay? But, I want you to understand this, as the time grew near, I don't know how long it was, as the time grew near for me to come out of the coma, I would look up and see the lights, and then all of a sudden a light, pooh, turned into a face. One was Pastor Denise. One was Pastor Denise. Another one was Joyce. Another one was my wife. Another was my mom. My dad. We are the light of the world. And what we say has a lot to do with the principalities and the powers that are in this realm. And when I saw Pastor Denise's voice, she was commanding those principalities and powers to cease. And when she did that, a bar from that cage fell to the floor. Another bar fell because I heard another person do the same thing. And the more there were people commanding and declaring my freedom and my deliverance and my healing, that whole cage just opened up. Praise God. That whole cage opened up. And when it opened up, Pastor Denise was there. The first time it opened up and she was there, she was going, like giving me a high five. And you remember that? You know, and Jenna was just weeping and crying. He's awake. He's awake. Wow. Praise God. It was a powerful time. I'll never forget that. Because I know the difference now between when we just say words. Somebody asks us, will you pray for a family member? And say, yeah, I'll pray. 3 weeks later, oh, I forgot. It is that important. We turn into those floodlights when we start to pray, and it breaks the principalities and powers that's holding those people in bondage. It is our responsibility for that. If somebody asks us to do it, oh dear God, help us not miss it, because we are accountable for that. I do not want to be in the presence of my Father. And he says, I'm going to name 100 people that you had the authority to loosen their chains and their shackles, but you decided to go play something. The Spirit of God speaks this expressly to us by our spirits. And he's calling us to walk in the Spirit so that we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's calling us to do that. And go ahead and put the title of the message up, please. Some of you may have heard a variation of this message. This message is going to be, I will not be able to finish it tonight. It's okay. That means you're going to have to come back. Hallelujah. I'll reel you in one way. Glory. It's called Living Above the Snake Line. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The presence of snakes and serpents while I was in that cage in the coma was enormous. It was enormous. I hate snakes. Who hates snakes in here? Oh gosh, I hate snakes. I don't even care if it's a nice gentle garter snake or whatever. I can't stand them. My wife and I went for a hike a couple of years ago and we're just walking, and then right above in front of us was a snake crossing the trail. I just go, I'm not afraid of them. I just can't stand them. If I had a gun, I'd shoot it. I don't care. You know, I just, or a machete, sheesh, cut its head off. You know, that's just me. I hate snakes, you know, and there are some people who love them like a pet, you know, and it's like, what is the attraction? You know, I just don't know, okay? But living above the snake line, how many of you know? And I'm going to read it because I don't want to forget and leave out a word. That there is in nature, an invisible yet very real and definite line above which you will never, everybody say never, never find a snake. You will never find a snake above the snake line. What happens to a snake, once they get close to it, they back off. Why? Their lungs explode. And they die. They will die. I want you to tie this in spiritually with me. We can live in the spirit above the snake line. So if a demon or a devil or some principality tries to attack you, we need to get up in the altitude so that they will perish. They'll die. You hear me? They'll die. Okay? This is really important. In the early settlers, the early American settlers, they referred to this line that was invisible as the snake line. And often when they were purchasing property, they would ask the seller whether the property was above the snake line or not. Okay? They knew that the land on the mountain or up in the upper levels was more rocky, harder to clear, and not as fertile as the land in the valley. But they also knew that the land in the valley was infested with rattlesnakes, various adders, and copperheads. Many settlers chose to raise their families on the higher ground rather than below the snake line, where they're in danger of snakes biting themselves or their family members. This is true. You can look it up in history. Okay? They understood the snake line. Now, this is in the natural. What about us as Christians? There is a snake line out there. And I'm going to give you a key word to it. Altitude. Altitude. Is it so high where you're up there, you're ready to touch the moon? Is it that high where you need oxygen and all this? No, no. It's above principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world. It's above. And did you know that we can live above that down here in the valley? We can. We can. Hallelujah. Yeah. If I would have known this when I was in a coma, I'm still in the cage, but you know what? There's no snakes around me because my attitude and my heart is elevated. I am up in the altitude, and I am not going to get bit. I'm not. I refuse to get bit. Just as the Lord has drawn a visible line in the mountains and higher elevations, which the snakes can't pass, there is a spiritual snake line as well. We need to find where that snake line is, because there is a level of the of living that is higher than that of this world. There is a level available to God's children that allows us to live as holy, pleasing the Lord, and free from many problems that cause most Christians to doubt and fall away. There is a place. There is a place. But before we get to that, because I know we're running out of, are we almost running out of time? Not yet. We're okay. Okay, we got a little bit of time. We got all night. Hallelujah. 10? 10:30? Is that okay? No. 11? No. Nobody likes to watch late night comedy anyway, because it's a bunch of junk, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Before I get to some of the scriptures, and I have the title up there, okay, I'm going to share with you the four bits of interpreting scripture from the Hebrew Bible, okay? There is the simple translation or simple interpretation, which is the Peshat. There is the Remez, which is the hint. Okay, we can go through this some other time. I'm just going to skim it to you right now. There is the hint. Like, have you ever read in the scriptures where you see something and you read it and you go, wow, there's got to be something more. There's got to be something more. That's remez in the Hebrew. God's talking to you saying, I'm hinting to you, giving you a hint that there's something more for you. Okay? There's something more for you. And that's the remez. And then there is the drash or the midrash. And those actually mean that when you read a scripture and you want to interpret that scripture, that God is going to open up a revelation or illumination to take you deeper in that. Okay? That's level three. What we're going to talk about tonight in living above the snake line is level four. And level four, you can write this down if you want. Level four, my dad's smiling, it's the sod. S-O-D. Some people say it's sod, but in Hebrew it's sod. S-O-D. And the sod of the Lord interpreting the scripture is his secret. Everybody say secret. He's secret. How many of you know that God has a lot of secrets in here? How come sometimes you can read a verse and you catch the, you think is the full meaning, you read it again and it means something different? And then you read it again and it means something even more. Who's missing it here? Us, because we are not. Oh, it's okay. Because we are not operating in some of the scriptures. Can we go to the first one of the scripture? Let's go to Psalms 91. Please, everybody turn to Psalms 91, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. And I think it's up there, right? Well, it'll be up there in just a second. It's up there? Okay, I'm going to turn this way because I want to read in what version. Is it the New King James Version? Yeah, okay, that's fine. All right, Psalms 91. See how it's capitalized, the first two letters? What does it say? What is it? He, okay, we're going to do a little teaching here. He who dwells in the secret place, oh, we just said secret, right? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, that he who's talking about, it's all in capitals in the New King James, okay, which is fine. It's not a big deal, okay? But he or she is a choice. That is an individual. That's us. Let's read it this way. He or she who dwells in the secret place, we can live there? Yeah. We just talked about living above the snake line. Oh, living in the secret place of the Most High, you can do that if you're walking right next to down a skid row or across a couple bars. Doesn't matter. You can still live in the secret place or above the snake line. Okay? Okay, and the place of the Most High shall abide. Abide is a King James word for what? Settle. That's a good one. I like that. Okay? According to the Hebrew, it means live. 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 Okay? Okay? The place of the Most High shall live under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a big shadow. That's a big shadow, isn't it? Well, we can live under the shadow. Can you go to the next verse? Anyone you want. Take a pick. Oh, yeah, verse 2. I will say. When you are living under the shadow of the Almighty, this is going to come out of your mouth. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. Well, there's commas there. In the Hebrew, there are no commas. Okay, so he actually says, my God. You're calling him God. Yahweh, Jehovah, Yehovah. You're calling him that because you know who he is. You know who he is. Okay, it takes time to know the person, doesn't it? That's something to talk about later. My God, in Him I will trust. King James says, I know King says, will I trust? Yeah, I will trust. I will trust in my God because His shadow is over me while I'm living in His presence. Now, are there snakes in the presence of God? The Bible says no. Are there serpents in the presence of God? It depends on what we're talking about for serpents. If we're talking about a serpent in pre-fall, before the fall of man, what a serpent was, and then after the fall, what a serpent is or was. We'll get to that some other time. That's good teaching, Larry. I'm just not going to leave you hanging, but I might have to. All right, let's pick another verse, any other verse you want up there. Let's go to another one. That's Psalms 91. All right, let's look at Amos 3:7. Okay, Amos 3:7. If you don't have that marked in your Bible, you better mark it. Okay, a lot of people go, Amos, is that in the Bible? Isn't that a cookie? Famous Amos? Okay, here we go. Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God does nothing. We say nothing. He does nothing unless he reveals his what? Secret to his servants, the prophets. Okay, now we're going to have to take out the word the there, because in the Hebrew, it actually says, unless he reveals his secret to his servants, dash, prophets. He's relating the servants of God and prophets together as one. Did you know that you could be a prophet? Yeah. Did you know that you are a servant of God? Okay, great. If you are, when was the last secret that you received from the Lord?
It's a secret.
It's a secret. You say, oh, are you good at keeping secrets?
Oh, Jesus.
Don't get me started on that one. The book of Galatians was written to those people. Backbiting. Gossip. Talking about things that you're not supposed to as a secret. Do you think that's God's counter or the devil's counterfeit for something God has already put into force? Absolutely it is. Gossip and all that stuff? Oh my gosh. Yeah, but don't forget, it's a secret. Throw away the key. But God says, wait a minute. I'm not going to do anything unless I reveal my secret to my servants and prophets. I'm not going to do anything. No. Well, I heard that God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and it's his time, and blah, all that. If that were true, then what do we have to do with it? We have no role in the matter. No role. We just get saved and go on. Go on with life. Isn't that right, Josh? What's the point? Why pray if God's going to do it anyway? Why? What's the point? The point is when I shared with you when I was in the coma. To be that floodlight that shines down on somebody who you're praying for so you can cast out the principalities and powers and evil forces in high places and even in the dirt. That's what we're here for. So that when the person does come out of the coma, they'll see their pastor's wife's face. They'll see his wife's face. They'll see his pastor's mother's face. They'll see Carolyn's face. They'll see these people. Why? Oh, because they're special. No, because they're praying. They're praying. They know how to pray. They know how to catch God's coattail and say, I'm not moving until you move. And then the Lord says, okay, Amos 3:7 says, I'm not going to do anything unless I reveal it to you. So let me tell you what I'm going to do. You got a message tonight. Pastor and Pastor Denise, God's given you something that you're going to be shared to you tonight in the presence of this congregation. Okay? And it's about what God's doing in this congregation and in your lives. Okay? Like I told you, Pastor, you woke me up last night. Okay? And I was telling Kim, he woke me up last night and I saw you sitting right there. I'm going, oh, okay, there's Kim. Hallelujah. Is that spooky or it's crazy? No, it's the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit. He's causing us to do these things. Why? Because there's going to come a day when Jim up here is going to need a word from the Lord. Sure, he's got his scripture here, but he needs that anointing to carry him through. We all need that. Amen? We all need that. We all do. Without a doubt. And I especially needed it when I was in a coma. Oh my gosh. I mean, I could feel things spiritually in my heart, but I could not do a thing. I couldn't speak. I couldn't praise. I couldn't do anything. But my heart was feeling something, which I know now, it was the prayers of my family and the saints. I know it was. I can't explain. There was nothing medical that was doing anything. I was just there, right? I mean, and they would operate on me. I had five operations on my shoulder. I didn't know I had five operations on my shoulder. When I come out of the coma, I was a mess. But I didn't know anything. I was like, isn't that right? I had a tube down my throat, and I just want to pull that sucker out so bad. You know, and it's like, what the heck? You know? But God said, for the time being, you're going to learn some things. You're going to learn some things, and you're going to share it with other people to set them free. Not for your glory. And I said, absolutely not. My glory is nothing. Everything goes to the glory of God. Everything. Everything. Let's go to another scripture. Everybody got that Amos 3:7 written down somewhere? Okay. Did you know that verse was there?
Yep.
Okay. Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalms 25:14. Look at that one. The secret, we said it, here it is. This is the third verse with the word secret in it. The secret of the Lord is with those who what? Okay, let's get down to the bottom of this word. Now fear, does that mean like,
no.
You're afraid? No. What does it mean? We reverence him. You do not take him for granted. If you can reverence the Lord and get into his presence humbly, here you go. He'll issue you his secrets. He'll tell you what he's doing. The book of John talks about, he says that he'll tell us all things to come. What? Yeah. And I'll show it to you next time. Not this time, next time. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. And he will show them his what? His covenant. Okay, that's good. That's New King James. The Hebrew actually says he will show them his salvation. And the word salvation in the Hebrew is what? I mean, those in the Hebrew class? Okay. Yeshua or Jesus. God the Father says, I'll show you Jesus. You mean there's another one? No, I'm going to show you the real one. Not the one that's preached on sidewalks or just because somebody holds up John 3:16 as a sign or something. So I'm going to show you the real Jesus. The one who decided to say, I'll take their punishment. And I will raise from the dead for them. Father, you know that we don't even have to do this. We can start over and create a whole new universe. We can create a whole new earth. We can do it all from the beginning like we did in the beginning. But you know what? I'll take that step for Kim. I'll do it. I'll do it. That's the Jesus he wants to show us. Hallelujah. Next verse, because we're getting late. Next verse. Psalms 31, verse 20. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. What's he talking about? You're going to hide your words. You're going to hide your thoughts. You're going to hide these things from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. How many of you know that when you share something that's not supposed to be shared yet, that other people will start to talk against it?
Yep.
I mean, I've never had that happen to you before. And when that happens, here comes the gossip, here comes the backbiting, here comes the lies, here comes the slander. It's all out there, and you say, all they did was share one thing. Isn't that right? It's like, oh my gosh, what happened? We're getting into the sowed, S-O-D. Everybody say sowed. The sowed level of interpreting Scripture. The secret place of the Most High is where we dwell. Do you want to dwell there?
Yes.
I do. I do. All the time. I can dwell in the secret place of the Most High while I live in the dirt. That's right. That's right. While I live in the dirt. That's right. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1 and let's go look at verses 9 through 17. Now we're going to read all of these verses, okay? And we're going to take I'm doing good. Okay, we're going to take a browse with all these verses because these verses actually tell us and locate us that we are above the snake line. Spiritually speaking. Okay? And then I'm going to share one or two things after we read this verse, because I do not have time to finish the whole message, and that's okay. Because we had other things to do, and the Holy Spirit wants to do some other things tonight. Okay, let's start with Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 9 through 17. We'll breeze through them, but I want you, as an assignment, read them at home. Okay? Take time to meditate, to mutter these verses at home. Why? Because they're important. You're going to locate yourself and say, wait a minute, am I above the snake line in this? Am I above it? Probably not. Okay, get more of that word in you. Get more of it in you. Here we go. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Oh my gosh. I felt that. I knew that was happening. My wife was at the hospital every day. Every day. Every day. My parents were there as much as possible too. It was great. I know that my pastors and other people, but they ceased not to pray for me every day. They took this verse and started acting on it. Do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. While I was in the coma and in the hospital, I need to know His will. I need to know what He's saying to me spiritually so that I can understand it spiritually. Because like I talked about before, when Pastor left, it's like, did God do this to me? Did I do something wrong? That's not God talking in me saying, you know, I want you to understand this spiritually. So you're going to have to understand everything in the sowed level. You're going to have to get deeper in this so that you can understand it. And once you understand it, you can deliver the captives. Because there's a... Did you know there's a lot of stinking thinking out there? Stinking thinking. And it's like, wait a minute. Where'd you get that? And not judging anybody, but when you hear it, you go, oh. Plug my ears and run. You know, and it's not because the people are bad people. It's just that I got to watch my spirit. Yes. I got to listen to what God's telling me, not what stinking thinking says. Okay? Let's go to the next verse. Here we go. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. Who wants to do that? Amen. Walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Next verse. Let's keep going. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Strengthened with all might for all patience and long suffering with joy. Next verse. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. We're qualified. We're qualified to live above the snake line. We're qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. We talked about it when I was in the coma. Those lights that were praying for me that I saw, we're qualified to be a light. We're qualified. Say, oh, I can't pray for somebody who's on their deathbed. You can. You're qualified. You better. That's right. Because you're going to be accountable whether they die or don't. You still have to pray. When God says do it, you do it. Like we talked about before. When God says jump, you better say how high. Okay? Not to the left or to the right, because He never says. He just says how high. And you do it. Giving thanks to the... Okay, we hear that. Okay. He has delivered us. Oh. Did you know you're delivered?
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. No, not really. Not really. I still chewing tobacco. You're delivered if you want to be.
That's right.
If not? And there's been many messages with us, especially this one pastor and minister. He's preaching, he's talking, he's saying, you know, he saw these two elderly women at the altar, crying at the altar, saying, Lord, take it away, Lord, take it away. With their whole heart, take it away, weeping for hours at the altar, Lord, take it away. And the pastor comes and says to them, okay, praise the Lord, you're up here and you're whining and crying to the Lord, but what is it you want the Lord to take away? And they said, snuff. And the pastor had to, he laughed inside and he says, "Ladies, the Lord don't dip." He didn't do it. So, and then he corrected the situation because he thought it was quite humorous. And he said, "The Lord's not going to take it away unless you lay it down."
Yes.
Unless you lay it down. See, Jesus said, it's a quality decision to enter heaven. He says, if your right arm offends you, what do? Cut it off. And he said, it's better that you enter heaven with one arm than enter hell with two. What is he talking about there? Getting out an axe? No, he's not talking about that at all. He's saying it's a monumental decision to get the axe and get ready. Didn't Abraham have to do that with Isaac? What a monumental decision. By him holding up that knife and his son, when you read it in the book of Jasher, it'll break your heart on what Isaac said to his father Abraham and what his father had to say to his mother as he was getting ready to be sacrificed. Oh, it'll break your heart. And he still got the knife up there and both of them weeping. A monumental decision. You make a monumental decision, and God will. Because what did he do? He said, because I see the decision you made, I'm going to make the same decision. I cannot let a human being make a bigger decision than me. Oh, powerful words from the Lord. This is what he's calling us to do. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, glory to God, and conveyed us into, everybody say into the kingdom of the love of his Son. Keep going. In whom we have redemption. Redemption? What's redemption? We're redeemed. We're bought back. You know, God actually took whatever amount of money it was in the Spirit to pay for us. Oh, that's bad stewardship. No. No. No, not bad stewardship. He just said, I'll pay whatever it costs to get them back into my sheepfold. Period. We are that worth it. Our blood is worth it that much. That's redemption. Through his what? His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We're forgiven. Well, I already forgive them. When we walk through those doors, oh, I just cussed at somebody. You walk through the doors, you are still forgiven. But what you need to do is get that consciousness, that conscience soothed. Otherwise, what happens to your conscience? It stays seared, which the Bible says like a hot iron. It'll keep burning you. Isn't that right? I mean, you're on the freeway, at the road rage. You get on the road rage and you start cussing at somebody. It's like, what did I just do? He's yelled at me first. And then you go, what did I do? What did I do? And oh, well, no big deal. And then 2 or 3 hours later, it's still burning. It's still burning, isn't it? It's still burning. That's right. It's still burning. Sunday morning especially. It's there, okay? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. If there's a firstborn, there's a... seventh, eighth, all the way. I don't know what number I am, but I'm in that born. Yeah, we're all in that number. If you've accepted Jesus, your number's there. Hallelujah. He's first, but you know what? Doesn't matter who's second, third, fourth, or fifth, as long as we're in that number. Amen? That's right. Hallelujah. For by him, Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. So when you guys were praying for me when I was in the coma, God knew exactly how to defeat them. And he sent the right people. Because, why? We tapped into the secret and find out how to defeat those principalities and powers. This is how it works, guys. This is how it works. He's not all of a sudden going to say, boop, there's a prophecy. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. And some people on TV and all this stuff, they say, I got a prophecy from the Lord. Okay, what verse is it based on?
Come on, that's right.
God doesn't work that way anymore. What are you talking about? Right? Okay? We judge things by the Scriptures. You judge the Spirit by the Scriptures. You judge everything by the Scriptures. If you go outside the Scriptures, who's going to judge? Oh, just Joe Schmo down the road. Anyway, he's the judge? Give me a break. No, the Scriptures is where we're at. Okay? And he is before all things, and in him, everybody say in him. In him, are you in him?
Yes.
Okay. So in him, all things consist. What does that mean? What does that mean? Anybody, shoot it out at me. All things consist. What does consist?
All things we do, everything we need, everything.
Everything.
All things.
Okay. Consist. And let's get into, what is that? Okay, it's made up of. So in other words, we are made up of being in him. What's in him? The Spirit of the living God. What's in us? The Spirit of the living God. Or it could be the spirit of flesh. It could be the spirit of, death. The Scripture says, for the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of the spirit of death. Or of sin and death. Sin and death. All things consist. Yeah, okay. Let's go to the next one. Oh, that is the last one. Okay, that's 17. What do you think of those verses? Okay. Those verses, you meditate on those, and you will see yourself above the spiritual snake line. Do you feel above the spiritual snake line right now just by reading those? Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. A mother and a daughter were walking in their garden one day, and they're walking and they're observing some of the plants and vegetables and things, and the daughter, being about 6 years old, said, Mom, I know why flowers grow. And the mom goes, oh, you do? Why do flowers grow? And she said, because they want to get out of the dirt. I want you to think about that spiritually. We got to get out of the dirt. Get out of the dirt. Where do we go? Altitude. Altitude. That flower goes higher and higher, as high as it can go. And then, yeah, over time, it'll die. But still, it's going higher and higher and higher. It's gaining altitude. Altitude. In World War II, there was a pilot, and he got called to go fly to another island, and he's in the Pacific Islands. And he gets in his plane, he starts it up, and he gets up in the air, and he hears this something chewing in his plane. He's going, what the heck? So he bangs, because he hears it right next to him, so he bangs, you know, there were tin, you know, the planes back in World War II, and he bangs on it, and he pops open a little bit, and he sees a rat chewing on his hydraulics right inside his plane. Now, I want you to think about it. If he says, no big deal, I'll fix it when I land. He ain't landing. He ain't landing. Nope, not the way he wants. That's right. Like you said, he almost landed. No, almost landing is crashing. Right? So he's going, what do I do? I can't reach it. I can't stick something down in there. And something came inside him, and he just goes, altitude. So he gets this the joystick, and he pulls out, and he just goes straight up until he was almost out of breath and he couldn't breathe. And then he hears something go right in the back of the plane. He turns it down and gets back to the base, and he lands, and he sees the rat dead. And this pilot said, "Thank you, God." And the Lord said, "Altitude will kill the enemy."
Hallelujah.
Think about it. Think about it. Was that rat the enemy?
Yes.
Yeah. It wasn't shooting at it. No, not in World War II, but it was still an enemy.
Yes.
Who's the enemy you have today? Who's the enemy you have today? We are lifted high above principalities and powers, but it is our inside altitude that will do it. Last story. Over in Nova Scotia, my brother's been there, over in Nova Scotia, these two young boys decided to take an eagle's egg that was planted on a cliff over there. They took the eagle's egg and they said, "You know what? We want to have our own eagle." So they took it and they put it inside the nest of their chicken coop. They had it home. The chicken didn't know, didn't care. Okay, so the chicken's just laying on it, you know. Okay, he's laying on an eagle's egg. She's going, "Whoa, the size of that thing," you know. But still, okay, the hen hatched the baby eaglet. And the baby eaglet started acting like a chicken. Hopping around, pecking at the, you know, picking at the dirt and the seeds and things. And if you've ever seen an eagle walk, they don't walk, they just hop. Okay. So this eagle's going like this on the ground, you know. And when the eagle gets to be about 6-7 months old, it gets tired of hopping on the ground like a chicken. And then one day it just looks straight up into the sky. And it does a double take because it sees a bird with its wings locked flying just like an S pattern right over it. And the eagle goes, "What the?" I don't know what it said, but you know. So it started flapping its wings and falls flat on its face. Day after day, it wants to be just like that bird up there, because these chickens aren't going anywhere besides the pot or the barbecue. So this eagle's going, "Oh, I don't want to be that part of that." So it keeps flapping and flapping. And then one day, the eagle just flapped again like it normally did, and it took off. You read the story. No. And it took off. And it soared in the air, and it circled over the chicken coop and stared at the chickens. And he's going, "This is what it's like to not be a chicken." And he's flying over and just going, "Whoa." And then he just shoots up into the atmosphere the way an eagle will do. What was the difference with the eagle and the chicken? The eagle is doing exactly what he's called to do, fly in the altitude. A chicken, it cannot fly in an altitude. It cannot. It's supposed to peck in the dirt, scratch in the dirt. An eagle? No, that's not their calling. What is your calling? What is your calling? To scratch in the dirt? To play in the dirt? No. Get out of the dirt. Let's have our flowers shine. We need to do that. We need to do that. The Lord speaks expressly by His Spirit. And he's speaking to Pastor Dennis and Pastor Denise. And I want everybody here just to just pray under your breath. Just pray and thank God for the Word of God that's going to be coming to them. Because God is calling them to something. Hallelujah. He's calling our church to something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You guys catch hands. You come in front of me here, please. Josh. And Ricardo, can you get behind them? Right in front, hallelujah. Now bear in mind, I'm not somebody special. Only special in God's eyes. But what I'm going to share with them right now, God gave me to give them in your ears. Because it could be done out in the parking lot. But God wants you to hear this. Okay? He wants everybody in this room to hear this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Catch hands. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody, those who are filled with the Spirit, which most of you should be, just pray in tongues underneath your breath right now. Hallelujah. And if the CD is running, keep it running so that they can go back to this. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. When I look at you, I see him. When I look at you, I see her. And I'm telling you, you are the perfect match that I put together for this day. The work that you have been called to, you may feel, and I'm emphasizing feel, that it is not growing how it should. But I have something to say to you, and I have a task for you to accomplish. If you agree to these, you will see the fruits of your labor beyond what you've ever expected before. Thus saith the Lord unto you, enlarge your tents. Stretch out your stakes. Be big in me. The identity of your congregation is immaterial. I'm asking you to use my identity as your congregation, because I'm going to move mightily in your congregation through you. If you let me, you will see dynamic things that even you were just shocked about. The task I have for you is that there are travelers traveling all throughout this globe, and they have no place to go. They will see this church and this congregation as a truck stop. I'm going to call these families and these people to you. Will you take them in? Will you take them in? Because I'm sending them to you. There will be some who will come, and these individuals will stay for just a while until you anoint them with oil, give them the wine and the word until they go, and you will send them off with your blessing. But there are those who will come that I'm sending. They will stay. They will be pillars in your congregation. You will treat them just like any other. This task I have for you, if you will do it for me, you will see my Spirit move mightily in your presence, even in your prayer time, even in your cars. I will come and visit you all the time because you said yes to me. Walk worthy of the calling that I've called you to, and you will see the mighty things that I'm doing in you for the glory of God. Not this congregation and not you. It's for the glory of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And tonight you heard a message that some of us just need to quit playing in the dirt. And, you know, Oklahoma or back east or even Texas, we think a dip, and we're not talking about a French dip. We're talking about something that's, you know, there's little things in our life that we, little things that we even chew on. Just like those chickens on that little feed on the ground. But God has greater meals and greater places to go and greater things. Such a good word tonight. Praise God. Do you enjoy that? I missed it.
Pastor Larry, I'm going to address this. While you were speaking, this word that you've given to me and my husband, this is going to sound probably to some, but the Lord had just spoke to my heart last week that we had just entered into our adulthood in the spiritual realm. And what you're saying tonight is confirmation to what he says to me.
Let's stand tonight. Let's stand. Praise God. Let's stand tonight. Come on. Let's honor God. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Father, tonight we thank you for the most promising word. The most promising word you give us. That the redemption draws nigh. And so, Father, we heard so much word tonight, and it's encouraging words, bombarded by the goodness of God. And you know, when I think of a flower, the flower rises up, and even when it's finished, it goes towards the ground and it reseeds the ground. Unless one plants a seed and abides by itself, it reproduces after itself. So even in the latter days shall be the greater days. Glory to God. And so thank you for that word. Father, tonight as we go from this place, we thank you for that, Lord, what you have already done. Lord, the paper, the church laying hands of everything else is just the evidence of what you've already done in Larry's life. Thank you for his family coming out tonight. Thanks for those new people that came to visit tonight. But more than that, thank you, Lord, for being here tonight. And Lord, we look forward to what you have for us even on Sunday morning as we come as a congregation, looking forward to hearing that word, Lord, to raise us up in such a time as this. In Jesus' name, amen. We're dismissed.